click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
What do you need to know when it comes to starting a business within the education sector? We're joined by a good friend of the show, David Morobe, Regional General Manager at Business Partners Limited. If you're not familiar with Business Partners, you'd be well aware that they're a key player in the funding, supporting and mentorship of many entrepreneurs in South Africa. We've spoken to them several times here on Kaya Biz, and they quite literally help entrepreneurs with a different edge. You know, the square pegs in the round circles, helping entrepreneurs in every aspect to grow, diversify and scale significantly. Tate Morobe, such a pleasure to have you with us on the show.
Thank you for having me. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, you are audible, loud and clear. Thank you so much for making time to join us, because we're well aware that you are incredibly busy. And maybe, you know, as a reflected Business Partners as an organization, you help a lot of entrepreneurs enter sectors, industries, spaces, markets, essentially, that are ripe for growth and development and hold the promise of actually being sustainable for business going forward. Let's talk about Business Partners' experience, especially within the education space, because I'm aware that there are quite a few entrepreneurs that you've assisted and helped to facilitate their growth in this space.
No, thank you for that. Indeed, it is a wide sector that we define as the education space, particularly in the private education space, ranging from preschools. You have some private schools that have come up to us, obviously lower in, public knowledge. People don't know about them as much as they know about the Crawfords that you've mentioned earlier on. Mm. But you've got a number of private schools in most of our metros, special needs schools, FET colleges. We've got some CETA accredited training schools. We've got special training schools like in culinary, nursing, medical, and such like, professions, if I might call them that, adult basic education. And we also classify student accommodation within our broader private education support, classification.
And I think this is important for us to actually note, right, that it's actually quite wide and so vast that education really does fall into to different fields and industries. And I can imagine for anyone who wants to start a business in this field, they do need to have the aptitude. But there's also quite a lot of red tape and bureaucracy, right, in terms of processes, systems that they need to follow. Talk us through those that we need to be aware of, especially given the uniqueness of this particular business area.
I mean, invariably, there is, regulatory elements that you need to comply with. You need to comply with a number of acts, the South African Schools Act, and all the laws that have been introduced to regulate how education is provided, especially at the formal education level, at basic and higher education. The regulation around preschool education is a bit more local authority based to make sure that there is safety for children. So I think we encourage our entrepreneurs to get a fee with what it is that each of the regulatory authorities would require for them to be able to operate in that space and provide the much needed education that our populace requires.
Mm. And I'm assuming governance is a very key factor that you follow through with, right? As I ask this question, I'm reminded of what we saw with EduCorp, the group that actually owns the likes of Damlin Colleges and I believe it was Cambridge Business School, that found itself, struggling to follow through with its business continuation because of floundering the governance rules that it had to abide by with the Department of Higher Education.
Indeed, it's so important for that compliance to be in place. And so we make sure as part of our due diligence that the entrepreneurs have that in place and before payout that all the licenses and the compliance elements are in place, because you found yourself sitting with a huge egg in your face as a financier, because ultimately you are seen as financing non-compliant institutions where governance failures are abound, and some of it might even lead to our children being worse off rather than better off by the very education that we're trying to mete out to them.
100%. Okay, so we understand you need to have the competencies. There's a lot of opportunities that are available. And of course, making sure that you abide to the laws and regulations and good governance. So if I want to say I want to open up a cooking school or maybe a radio school or an adult-based education school, Where would I have to start if I had to come to business partners seeking financing options and maybe mentorship and support?
I think it's kind of a bit difficult for us as a financier to say these are the places, all the places that you need to go to. What we do require of entrepreneurs is to have the requisite skills in whatever area that they would be wanting to provide an educational facility. We would look at whether they are compliant or not. Let's take nursing as an example. Somebody would have to have gotten all the necessary qualifications and compliance levels with the nursing education fraternity, for lack of a better word. So they would have the doing skills to be able to deliver the quality that is required for nursing education. Then we'll look at the business proposition that is placed before us. Are they able to have a competitive positioning and a competitive edge in that particular space? And obviously just that the financial, I want to call it, gearing or balancing is in place for them to be able to get the funds with us, the sufficient wherewithal within the business for them to be able to service that facility that is available. So in each of the areas that we would support, we make sure that the entrepreneur at least has the doing skills, and then at least where they do not have the other bits, like for instance on the business skill, if technical assistance is required, we will do so. But on the doing skills, it's a very difficult area to compromise on. If I may just take one last example, for instance, if you were to start a radio education, I probably would be far more willing to back you up because you've got experience, no elements that go in, than when somebody else like me, who has never been in radio, but I just admire it from a distance. I have the theory behind it, but when you use somebody else's money, you want to know at least that the doing skills are in place, and the rest we can augment and supplement via technical support.
Got you. Oh, Ntate Morobo, you're giving me some ideas. I'm gonna get my things in order. But as you say as well, it differs, right, from industry to industry, to the resources and the funding that is required. But governance is very critical. But coupled with that, we also need to know what we are financing, right? Because typically as entrepreneurs, we always say, show us the money, give us the capital. But capital needs to be directed to a resource in order to contribute to the growth of the business. And I'm just intrigued, you know, typically is it, you know, property, plants, and equipment, you know, is it for assets? Is it for the educators? Because perhaps some educators come with a heightened level of skill and other cost implications. But I guess my question simply put is, where do you find education groups and companies typically seeking funding for?
The majority of them are looking at some kind of asset. In most instances, is the facilities where they will be providing the education at. Like, you know, our property finance seem to ring quite strongly in this space. They want to make sure that the premises are well equipped, right from, preschool education through to student accommodation, that they are compliant with whatever institutions and other laws that are available to make sure that they give good quality space. Some come to us for maybe a management buyout, takeovers of existing institutions. You mentioned earlier on that Curo is buying back into the foundation. Yes. If some of our entrepreneurs were participating in such institution and they have an opportunity to buy, would probably back them up. Not much equipment. Whilst there might be some equipment requires the monetary amount that goes to that is usually not as high. Also, expansion and working capital, we find those are the sort of range of financing that most entrepreneurs come to us for.
Got you. I'm glad you touched on working capital, Ntate Moro, because I was about to ask if cash flow typically becomes a challenge for a lot of education groups. And I ask this because we know South Africans who are seeking to upskill themselves, you know, it's a big investment to make to pay for school fees or any other kind of educational course. And typically we do find that that's where many South Africans do struggle. It eats into the business margins. They struggle in managing cash flow. And this is typically where businesses might need assistance in adequately managing that cash flow, or having more finances aside to help them out. Is that a key, I guess, influence in terms of education groups and how they need to run effectively?
You know, I think when there's a huge pandemic situation such as we had with COVID, I think that came through quite strongly, that the cash flow element was quite pronounced for most educational establishments. For instance, those in student accommodation found that the students were at home and the NEFTA facility wasn't paying them during that period. Under normal circumstances, for instance, preschools, that's the first things that most parents pay towards. Then usually they receive their monies upfront a month ahead. Uh-huh. So they tend to be quite liquid and to manage their operations quite well. And for most of us as parents, we tend in our priority list to put our children's well-being and education quite high up on that list. And that's why these educational facilities and the challenges we've experienced in this space have produced opportunities for entrepreneurs to optimize on and take that advantage of that. So the cash flow has not been such a pronounced unless there's a pandemic such as we had with the COVID-19.
Got you. This might be an unfair question, but I guess you see it in the observations of other businesses. Margins. Typically, what do we see the profit margins and operating margins sitting at in terms of, I guess, what jaws, if I can refer to it as such, in terms of the growth rate as well for these businesses?
The margins tends to be quite good. It's a service business. So, your biggest cost tends to be the human resources that you use, the teachers. And if it's at preschool, you would have people that cook. Or sometimes you need a bit of security that goes there. So it's either whether you put it above the line or below the line. The majority of the people leave those costs below the line and have very high GP margins that they operate in, 8 to 100% GP, and then put their costs below the line. So it's actually very lucrative for many people that get into the education space.
Got you. GP being gross profit, right? Making sure that we follow through.
Correct.
Got you. Oh, Tate Moroba, if I don't open up the radio school, I think I'm happy to be your intern. I keep learning new things with you and your team.
I want to register you as one of our mentors for technical assistance so that when anyone wants to get into the radio space, they've got an experienced person that can be there to guide them. You would be better positioned to do so as a technical assistant support than myself, who would be just providing the liquidity for them to realize that.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, Tate Moroba, I know where to find your offices in Houghton. I will be there before the end of this week.
Thank you very much.
Oh, always a pleasure speaking to you, sir. Thank you so, so much. That is David Morobe. He's the Regional General Manager at Business Partners Limited.
Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfuphi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.